Hi, everyone. Welcome to Flock Talk. I'm Aaron Morgan.
And I'm Jordan Sloggett.
And we work for the farmer members of the Ontario Sheep Farmers Organization.
This week, we are discussing agriculture and food education in Ontario classrooms with Mira Lionbloom from Eggscape.
Welcome, Mira. Thank you for joining us on Flock Talk.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Mira, before we jump into the questions, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be the executive director of Eggscape?
Absolutely. My background is in education and specifically in curriculum and program development, looking at social justice issues. And the main focus for my professional work was in food justice and food accessibility, as well as having a bit of a background in agriculture, though I have certainly learned a lot from our staff and wonderful partners since. And through a series of steps, I am very proud to now be working at Eggscape.
That's amazing. So our farmers listening who don't know, what is Eggscape? What's your mission? What do you guys do?
Oh, absolutely. I love talking about this. It's one of my favorite topics. Eggscape is a charitable organization that is leading the movement to bring agriculture and food education into all Ontario classrooms and beyond. So we work with educators and youth to see and really understand their role within the food system as a vehicle for social, economic, and environmental impact, both now and in the future. So we also want to ignite interest in related agriculture and food careers. And we do this through our innovative programs, all of which are experiential and entirely science and evidence-based.
That's amazing. Can you describe what is the current state of agriculture education in Ontario schools for some of our farmer audience that have been out of school for a number of years?
Yeah, that's a great question. Over the years, there certainly has been the introduction of some agriculture education into the Ontario curriculum. There's been efforts to include a unit here or there in some of the subjects and some of the grade levels. However, we're still not seeing anywhere close to the level of agriculture and food literacy that needs to be in our education system. And perhaps even more importantly, there isn't much support for the educators. So those who are doing the curriculum writing absolutely can be putting new things into the curriculum. They provide the basic information that needs to be there. They have the handouts. They have some talking points. But if there's no support and guidance, ongoing learning and training for educators to be able to feel confident in teaching about agriculture and food, to answer questions, to find other ways to relate what they're learning to agriculture and food, because of course, more than anything else, food is our universal experience, then we're not doing the type of deep education that there is certainly the opportunity to do, the potential to do.
So I have a follow-up question on that because I've experienced this with my own children. What happens when the educator does their own research and teaches from maybe their own limited knowledge? Can we just let that happen in the classroom? Mm-hmm. Or are there sort of checks and balances on what teachers are teaching?
That's a great question. And I'd say, like many good questions, the answer is it's a bit of both. There certainly are specific guidelines and expectations laid out for Ontario educators. So we know that educators have so much on their plates and so much on their shoulders, and they have more and more every year. They have very specific curriculum goals that they need to meet. They have specific topics, but they also have some room for creativity, certainly, and also do need to continue doing even more of their own work and research on top of the many hours they already work. So I say, just like anything else, certainly a teacher's own opinions or research are going to come into what they're teaching. Again, just like with any other topic. And we want to absolutely encourage educators to be doing research and getting their own interest in these topics to then be able to share that, right? Enthusiasm breeds enthusiasm. And one of the reasons that we exist, that AgScape is there, is that we are that resource for educators who want to learn more. And the work that we do, everything that we put out, is science and evidence-based and very heavily annotated and with resources and additional links and ways that you can continue doing your own research that are included in it. So all of our programs are completely free, and that includes thousands of resources that we have in our digital resource library that are available for anyone to download, and they can look them up by subject or by grade or by keyword like sheep. And then everything to do with sheep is going to come up right there in the digital resource library, and they can download it and feel confident in where that's coming from.
Great. So what sort of educational experiences have the biggest impact on students and teachers who rarely interact or know anything about modern agriculture? And can you also speak to sort of what grade levels you address with what resources?
Absolutely. Just like with most of our learning, the understanding in updated or current pedagogy is that hands-on and experiential learning is impactful and crucial and at every age. So often as students get older, they start doing less and less of the, you know, games or working with manipulatives in favor of many more, you know, worksheets and lectures. And that is most definitely not a dig at educators by any means. It's just the way that our education system, like most other education systems, has been set up. When you can be physically holding something, certainly, but engaging different parts of your brain, when you can be doing some movement, when you can be incorporating games and little quizzes, little, you know, trivia throughout learning, there's a lot of evidence to support the fact that that is really impactful. What's also really important is relating what you're learning to your current life experiences. So while it absolutely is important for us to continue learning about these great works of literature and about these, you know, hard to understand mathematical concepts, it's also really hard for anybody, not just kids, to know why that is relevant for them right now. But there are ways to connect everything. Many educators do it, and it's a passion of theirs. We know that that is how you ignite a spark of interest in a young person, really in anyone, but in a student. And what is more relevant to the human experience than food? When you can be talking about agriculture and food as you are trying to achieve your curriculum goals of specific math equations, right? And so instead of just talking about the mathematical concept, you are doing the engineering and math that's needed to design a barn for a specific animal, where we talk about how much space and what is needed for that animal. They're learning about that animal. They're learning about current agriculture in Ontario. They're also learning about their math curriculum goals, and it's going to sink in a lot more when it's something that then they can relate, then they're excited to go home and tell their families about, when they can then recognize something that either, you know, they see in their fridge or they see out in the store or they see in a commercial and say, oh, I learned about that, and that's relevant to me. That's incredibly exciting and means that the lesson, both about agriculture and food and about whatever the curriculum goals are, is really going to resonate and stay there.
Mira, I really liked what you said about that, relating it to personal experience there. But I think a lot of us in this industry can relate to the challenges about speaking to modern agricultural practices, to people who have, you know, their extent of knowledge about agriculture kind of begins and ends with Old MacDonald's farm. How much about agriculture do we need to explain, and what explanations, in your opinion, get the most positive responses from the public if our goal is to build and maintain their trust?
Yeah, great question. Making sure that everything that is being presented has science behind it, has evidence behind it, is really crucial. It's one of the pillars of what Agscape does. It is one of our main values, and it is a way that we absolutely measure whether or not a resource is ready to go into a classroom or ready to be uploaded to then be out there in the world, is that we work with the fantastic commodity groups like Ontario Sheep in Ontario, but schools know that we are not there as a mouthpiece of any specific commodity group or any company or any organization. And that is the reason that we are an approved vendor in every school board in Ontario that we work with, which is almost every school board in Ontario, including, I mean, the furthest school boards, the fly-in communities, because of course now we can do, you know, really meaningful virtual experiences. And that's both English and French, because we offer our programming in both. So when an educator feels confident that they're not being sold something and that a specific viewpoint is not being pushed at them, that's when they trust the resource. And students trust their teachers. They're the ones who are sharing this knowledge. And so that is incredibly important. And then, of course, keeping things as engaging and fun as and relevant as possible, making sure that we are including stories, making sure that we're looking at what the makeup of Ontario is and that those stories and those experiences are represented in our work and in a meaningful way, not in a token, but in a meaningful way of exploring history. That also can mean exploring negative elements, exploring drawbacks, exploring things in history or now, or and looking at all sides of controversial topics or of arguments and bringing those to the students and saying, here's the work that has been done. Now let's use those critical thinking skills to be able to ask the questions you need to ask.
Mm-hmm. So in your experience working with kids, when you've been talking about farming, what are some of the best ideas and some of the craziest questions that you've heard?
Man, kids just have the best ideas. Like we hear the most incredible ideas and questions. Yes, of course, there's the, you know, the sweet ones to talk about, like, you know, someone thinking chocolate milk comes from a brown cow and white milk comes from another cow. Like those are really sweet. And it's fun to be able to talk about those and not in a way that is shaming them by any means, but in a we're learning together kind of way. But I'd say that something really important to understand is that we're not just talking about misconceptions that kids have. This is the fact that we don't have agriculture and food system education. We don't have that literacy among our population, which is certainly a problem that a lot of places have. The Canadian Agriculture Human Resource Council does incredible work, and they came out with a sweeping study last year, that was a multi-year study of thousands of people across Canada. One of the really interesting things was that a majority of people could not name a career in agriculture or food outside of farmer or chef. Oh. And that's really telling, because one in nine jobs has to do with agriculture and food in some way. So the chances of there being a few people in that class who are going to be working in agriculture is really high. And also the labor gap right now in agriculture is reaching a crisis level and is only growing. And so the work that we're doing is so important to spark the interest in students to then say, we're not telling you that if you want to be involved in agriculture and food, go be a farmer or go be a chef. If you want to, that's fantastic. And we'll, you know, help guide you to some resources. But if you want to be an engineer, if you want to be a biochemist, if you want to be a drone operator, if you want to be a lawyer or an accountant or a writer or an artist, we need you in agriculture. You can be doing what you love to do and what your skills are and be contributing to a sustainable food system And that's a really exciting thing. That's a really important spark to light now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mir, that is a great point to sort of end on, and that spark. And I'm sure a lot of our sheep farmer members have really appreciated hearing about the work that Eggscape's doing. And some of them are probably also thinking, what can they do to support or volunteer their time and effort towards your cause? So what sort of directions would you give for people who are listening and you've inspired to that they want to do something?
Absolutely. We'd be so happy to welcome sheep farmers into our happy family, to our partners. We have a few programs where we utilize professionals in their fields, sometimes literally in their fields. So one thing we do is virtual field trips, and these are getting increasingly exciting and popular. We just had one to maple syrup facility that had over 20,000 live viewers, which was really exciting.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So this is where, for example, a sheep farmer would basically be set up by us, and you walk around with a camera and you're talking to us about what it is that you do. Really, what is it that you do? What's your day to day? Show us some of the sheep, of course. And there's thousands of students from across Ontario and really across Canada and the world who are tuning in live, and then thousands more who are watching the video after. Because it's live, it means that the students are asking questions that then the host gets to answer live. So that's such an exciting way to learn about agriculture from professionals. Another thing that we have is our Think Ag Career Competitions. And these are where we partner with a school or a school board or a municipality, and students all come together in one big space, often students from a few different schools or different classes. And we have our volunteers who have set up booths in this space. And the students go around to each booth for, you know, between 10 and 15 minutes. And each booth has an exciting hands-on activity that is teaching a little bit about what they do and also about how they got into that job and what and the career path. So students get to do this exciting activity. They get something hands-on. They get to meet and talk to, for example, sheep farmers. And then there's a small competition element, because the students get points based on their engagement, and then the winning group will get something fun at the end. But this is one where we love welcoming in partners. And so based on where we're doing the Think Ag career competitions, because we do them across Ontario, we seek out local volunteers. And so that's where we would love to see some local sheep farmers. And then the last one, of course, is to share all of this with the educators in your life. So tell them about our teacher ambassador program lessons, where they can have a trained teacher ambassador come into their class in person or virtually to run one of our curriculum linked lesson plans, or they can download any of the material they want, or they can register to get the activity kits that we send out a few times a year. So share this information with educators. And we also welcome anyone to become members. It's important to us that our members are not just large organizations or groups, but we have individuals. We have farmers, we have educators, we have really people of every demographic who themselves are members of Eggscape, which means that you are helping us to shape the work that we're doing and what needs to come next.
Wow. Thank you so much, Mira. This is my favorite thing about this podcast, is that I get to learn all about things that other people are doing in the agricultural sector. And it's really inspiring and really interesting. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. This was such a pleasure. I love talking to you about this. It's wonderful. And thank you to everyone listening.
Thanks, Mira.
And thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Join us next Wednesday, where Jordan and I will give you an update on all things Ontario sheep farmers.
So, Aaron, what's new at OSF?
In response to the suggestions from our members, there is lots of change ahead for the Ontario Sheep Farmers AGM and Convention. We're moving our meetings to the Cambridge Hotel and Conference Center, and the AGM and banquet will be held on Friday, October 25th, followed by our convention on Saturday, October 26th. The AGM will begin at 1 o'clock on the Friday to limit the cost of hotels for attendees to only one night. And good news, the Cambridge Hotel breakfast is included in your night stay. We believe this will significantly decrease the cost for our members to attend our event. For those who are not able to travel to Cambridge, we're hosting watch parties in Eastern and Northern Ontario. The details on these satellite locations will be available soon on our website at ontariosheep.org. We are also working on a great program that will include a panel of farmers and experts to talk about breeding decisions to improve your return on investment. And speaking of ROI, this will be the theme of the day, from genetic selection and evaluation of lambs for market readiness to managing feed costs and improving efficiencies in the barn. It's going to be a great 2 days, and we hope to see you all there.
If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe through your podcast app to receive alerts to future episodes. And please also consider sharing this podcast with your friends.
For more Ontario Sheep Farmers content, follow us on social media at Ontario Sheep Farmers on Instagram and Facebook, and at Ontario Sheep on X, formerly Twitter. And visit our website at ontariosheep.org.